And if you will indulge me, I'd like to just share a little bit of fun family trivia. This afternoon, I was sitting in my office before the service and got a call from Raquel, and she was very excited. She works with a girls' Sunday school class, did that last year, and has done it again, is doing it again this year. And helps in doing some of the songs and filling in. She taught, I think, once or twice last school year, the class. But anyway, this morning, she got to lead a little girl to the Lord. And so she was very excited and wanted to share that news. And I'm just grateful for God's continued work in her life, and wanted to just share that with you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, we realize that we are but pilgrims here on this earth, and that those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ cannot ever truly call this earth our home. We're looking forward to spending an eternity in your presence, in that new heaven, in that new earth. But God, in the meantime, our heart's desire is that we would be made stronger men, women, and children. God, that we would not be strengthened in our own strength, but truly in the strength of God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that you have left us in your holy word absolutely everything that we need in order to be strong in the Lord. Tonight, as we look at Timothy, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, that you would encourage us. And at the same time, as we reflect on this Grandparent Sunday, we would equally be grateful for those grandparents who do know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'd like for us to consider this somewhat of a family service, and with our emphasis on grandparents today, I'd like for us to reflect on the positive impact that they can and should have on our lives. Paul was very mindful of this impact in the life of his son in the faith, Timothy. And he makes a deliberate point of that fact in our text tonight. From Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, we learn that Timothy was born in a mixed home. He had a Jewish mother and he had a Greek father. And really, there is no indication in the scriptures that his father was a saved man. In fact, the emphasis is always put on his mother and, as our text indicates, on his grandmother. Now, Timothy was an unusual man. He was one, if we keep in mind, that Paul had kind of already worked with someone. He had worked with John Mark, and things had not gone so well. And some like to suppose that that may have had some impact or may have been due to the fact that Paul was such an outgoing, strong personality, and perhaps in some way, through his domineering personality, somehow caused a little bit of friction to arise there between him and John Mark. And some would like to say that perhaps that was a lesson that he had therefore learned. And so when it came time to Timothy, although there were some very difficult, trying circumstances that they encountered, nevertheless, he was able to have a greater and stronger spiritual relationship with Timothy, referring to him on many occasions as his son in the faith. Now, Paul is mindful that there were those that were still skeptical of this son in the faith. And so Paul is here trying to use this letter use this letter as an encouragement to Timothy, and at the same time to solidify in the minds of Timothy's followers, those that would have been under his leadership, that he was there because God put him there. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in this specific context here, starts off the chapter by establishing his own authority. Paul's not tooting his own horn. He's not boasting of himself, but he at the same time is not in any way ashamed of the fact that he, Paul, is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so by making that statement at the beginning of this epistle, he's really again reminding them of his authority. That it had nothing to do in and of himself as a writer per se, but that it had everything to do with the Holy Spirit's work on his life. And as he continues on, he is mindful of the wonderful relationship that he had had with his son Timothy. And he, interestingly, in this passage, uses the thought remember or remind on several different occasions. He's here reminding him. He says, I think of you day and night in my prayers. You know, can you imagine what it would have been like to have had the Apostle Paul praying for you day and night? I mean, just the spiritual boost and think, wow, here is this one who's been so greatly used of God. Look at what he's done. You think of everything that he had encountered, all of the physical danger and everything else that the Apostle Paul went through. And yet Paul says, you, Timothy, are on my heart and furthermore in my prayers day and night. But you know, I think at the same time, there's much for us to be learned from that phrase, because here Paul realizes the positive impact of sharing with someone else when he was praying for them. Now, let's transfer it to where we are today as we're thinking of Grandparents Sunday and we're thinking of the special time that we can reflect upon in a spiritual sense, even from our physical family members. When was the last time that you made an effort to share with a child or a grandchild, I'm praying for you day and night? I wonder what encouragement your words could have on your grandchild or on your child as you let them know, I have you in my heart and I have you in my prayers. You think of Paul and, of course, the difficulties that they had encountered. There was a time back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 where we realize that Timothy was sent to that very carnal city of Corinth. And he was sent there on a mission to try and help get things straightened out. It was not necessarily what you would think of as the most successful event in Timothy's ministry. And perhaps some of that may have had to do with his timidity that is implied here in our text that we'll see in just a few more moments. But nevertheless, Timothy kept plodding on. Timothy kept following the example of the Apostle Paul as Paul was mentoring him to be greatly used of the Lord as one of the pastors there when the churches were in their infancy. We also realize that because of this ongoing prolonged relationship, that there was an emotional tie. It was not some type of sterile relationship where you are my follower, you do what I say, and he didn't really get involved in his life. No, he reflects back even on the tearful departure that they had had, realizing that Paul was now waiting to die in Rome. His death was imminent. We know back from Acts... There was an occasion there, very specifically spelled out in chapter 20, where the Ephesian elders, the Bible says, they knelt down, they prayed, and then it says, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul says, you know, he said, I would love to see you, but he said, I haven't forgotten the tears that you shed for me, Timothy. I haven't forgotten that tearful, emotional farewell, that goodbye time that we've already gone through. However, he says, Timothy, he said, you are unique because you are a second generation Christian. In fact, in the scriptures, he's really the first detailed account of a second generation Christian that we find anywhere in the New Testament. And he says, you have to remember God's hand of blessings upon you right from the very beginning. I remember whenever I think of this phrase, unfeigned faith, back probably 30 years ago or so, when we would have the Academy of Arts come through, and they had a play called Unfeigned Faith. And I remember acting some of the scenes out in junior high and learning, what in the world does unfeigned mean? I mean, that's not the word that the average 13-year-old goes about inserting into his daily vocabulary. But, you know, you think about the word unfeigned, and not to get too technical tonight, but to just help us to appreciate a little bit of the background on that word. It comes from a word which is anupokritos. And then if you were to find the verb form, it comes from upokrinomai, which simply means to judge under. And that is to act, as it were, under a disguise. We think of the Greek actors, and the historians tell us that they were actually called Hippocrates. And you're hearing what our word that we have in our English language is, that word hypocrite. And so if it's here in this particular context where it says anupokritos, it's the negation of that. It's the opposite of that. So in other words, it's the unhypocritical faith. And he says, Paul says to Timothy, he says, that is the kind of faith that is in you. But, Timothy, remember where it started. And do you realize that out of the 66 books that compose the Holy Bible, that there is no mention specifically of the word grandfather, and that here in our passage before us tonight is the only mention of the word grandmother in the whole Bible? And Paul says, you, Timothy, had a God-fearing grandmother. A God-fearing lady of faith. You know, I look back in my own life, and at the same time, I thank God for a God-fearing grandmother that I had, who, in some sense of the term, was responsible in part for my coming to know the Lord as my Savior. Because, as many of you know, when my dad grew up, he did have a God-fearing mother, but he had a father who was not a Christian. And so my grandfather would work hard 6 days a week, and Sunday was his day to kick back and do basically nothing. And would just stay at home, and my grandmother and my dad and all of his siblings would go off to church. And so my dad had gone through the false profession. He was in, unfortunately, a dead Southern Baptist church, and had gone through the baptismal waters, and supposedly that was magical and everything was fine and he didn't have anything to worry about. But there was never a change in his life. There was never a time where he repented of his sins. In fact, Dad loves to talk about the times when he was a teenager, and their church happened to put on the radio at that time their service in a live format. And so some of you who have teenagers that are not the most sanctified, there's plenty of hope for them. Dad tells the story that he would walk in the church with his mom. And I don't know exactly how old he was, but I know he was old enough to drive a car, and would walk in with his mom, and then she would come in and get seated in the church service. Dad would go downstairs, he would go down the hallway, he would go out the back door of the church building, he would get with his friends, they'd get in his car, they'd drive around for the next hour, and then they'd turn on the radio for the last 5 minutes of the church program, hear something that the preacher was saying, that get an idea of what the message was about. They'd come into the back of the auditorium, sit on the back row, then the service would end, my grandmother would get up, she'd walk out the doors, she'd see Buddy back there, and they would walk out the doors, and Dad would comment, what a wonderful message we heard on the subject of
X, whatever he had heard in that 5-minute segment there. So Dad was really not the most sanctified person as a teenager. You've heard the story. He got kicked. He dropped out of high school, got kicked out of military school, and joined the army. And at the age of 17, my grandmother probably had a hallelujah fit when she got to sign that waiver. Yes, if you'll take him U.S. Army, thank the Lord. He's yours. And so Dad went over to Italy, and it was there that my grandmother continued to pray faithfully for her son. She never let up. She would send him tracts. She sent him a Bible. He hid the Bible because that was not the macho thing to do, and he didn't want anybody to know he had a Bible. He would only pull it out when no one was around. Then he came back and was still unsaved. My grandmother never stopped praying for him, and he came back as a single adult and went to a single adult activity at a different church that his mom was then attending, my grandmother was then attending, and then went on a single adult retreat, and there at that retreat repented of his sins and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, almost instantly, in just a matter of a few weeks, God began to work on his heart and called him to the ministry. And he changed from an engineering major, civil engineering major at East Carolina University, married my mom, and went down as a Bible major at Bob Jones University, seeking to prepare his life for the ministry. But my grandmother never gave up on her son. She prayed for him. My grandmother did not have the spiritual support of a God-fearing husband. As I mentioned briefly this morning, my dad led his dad, my granddad, to the Lord on a visit that my grandparents made down to Greenville, South Carolina when my dad was there in college. Do you realize, though, when we talk about faith, you may say, hey, you know, my kids are testing my patience. I don't see everything. It's not turning out the way that I want it to do. Let's just keep in mind the power of prayer. It's not a magical pill. Has nothing to do with, well, you pray this 3 times and boom, everything's going to be fine. But as we continue to go before the Lord and pour our heart out to Him and seek to walk with God and seek to do what the Bible clearly tells us to do, then God says that He will listen to the importunate one, to the one who is consistently day in and day out begging and pleading with God, Lord, please do your work. But he talks about this unfeigned faith. And he says here, he says that this faith actually dwelt first in your grandmother. And then he says your mother. And then he says, now I'm persuaded that that same faith, that unfeigned, that unhypocritical, genuine, the real deal, is also in you. And dwell, of course, comes from a word which has as its derivative home, to live at home. And so what Paul was here saying is, he says, you know, that faith that your grandmother had has obviously through your life made a home in your heart. I think what a wonderful word picture the Apostle Paul is here trying to help us to appreciate. We realize our desires for our children, for our future generations to walk in the ways of the Lord, to have that genuine faith. But our goal ought to be that truly that faith, as found in Jesus Christ, will find a home in the hearts of our children. And if you have them, in the hearts of your grandchildren as well. Turn with me, if you would, just a couple chapters over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul makes mention of this same faith and where it came from. When he says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
He says, Timothy, remember. Remember, you have learned the word of God from the time you were a child. And that same word of God has everything that you need to be perfect, to be complete in God. There is no instruction regarding the Christian life. There is no instruction, Timothy, regarding the ministry to which God has called you that is somehow lacking in the Holy Scriptures. Don't forget it. Keep it there. Of course, we think of Paul reminding the Ephesian believers when he says in chapter 3 of Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I like what J. Adams comments on this verse when he says, here is an instance of the fact that family faith through the generations does not have to weaken as so often it seems to. It doesn't have to become more diluted as each generation arises on the scene. We say, well, it's just impossible. It's just too difficult. No. We still have principles in God's Word that we must put into practice in our lives. We still have promises that we can claim as we seek to do what God has told us to do. But he now comes back and he says, Timothy, he says, you know, I do thank God for that unfeigned faith that is in you. That goes back. But he said, I also want to remind you that God has equipped you. Not only has God saved you, but also God has equipped you. And God has given you a gift. That is a spiritual gift. He says, I reflect back on that time when you were ordained and set apart. He says, now Timothy, I know you. You in and of yourself have a spirit of fear. But you don't have that fear from God. You see, God, Timothy, he wants him to realize, is the one who has given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind or self-control. But how is he going to appreciate that power and love and that self-discipline or that self-control, that sound mind? Well, he's going to appreciate that by doing what he tells him to do in verse 6, where he says, you have to not only remember that you've got that gift, but you have to stir up the gift of God. And that word stir up, Wiese points out, comes from a compound word, which means again, life, and fire. So in other words, it's to rekindle. It is to kindle anew, to resuscitate. And furthermore, the tense of the word that is here, the tense of the verb, being in the present tense, denotes a continuous action. And we don't have to somehow extract from this that must mean that Timothy was cowering or that Timothy had stopped being what God wanted him to be. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying keep on kindling on a daily basis. Make that flame to be fanning even brighter and higher. As another commentator points out, he says, keep blazing. You know, when we think of those of us who have had the privilege of having a Christian home, Christian parents or Christian grandparents, it's not sufficient enough to have been born into a Christian home to somehow think you're going to be all that God wants you to be automatically. It's not sufficient enough to think that you are going to be everything that God desires because you learned some scriptures from the time that you were young. No,
Even if you were born in a Christian home and you learned the scriptures and you went to church, and even if you knew Christ as your Savior, came to know Him as your Savior as a young child, you still have the God-given responsibility every day of your life of stoking the flames of your heart. Saying, God, I want to be mindful every day of my life that the gifts that I have received from the Holy Spirit are to be used within your local church. That God, I want to make certain that I am seeking to edify the body of Christ with those gifts that you have equipped me with. That God, I truly want that fire in my heart to burn brightly and to blaze for your honor and for your glory. Before we close our service tonight, the message portion of our service, I'd like to give you an opportunity on Grandparent Sunday to think of some lessons that perhaps a parent or a grandparent has imparted to you. Lessons that have helped you in life as we seek to remember the days past, to consider the years of many generations. This week we received the missionary letter from Brother Derek Getty, and I just thought I'd share a little bit of what he said because I think it ties into what we're saying here today. It says, "Dear praying friends, now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." Psalm 71:18. Well, the gray head is there, and the Lord promised that He would never leave me nor forsake me, so I guess I will just keep on telling others about the goodness of the Lord. Summertime is always the busiest time of the year for us, and I'm sure that there were a few gray hairs added to this head of mine over the past few months. Then he goes on and tells of some different activities that they had. And I thought it was exciting to read where he said, "Then we said our goodbyes to 9 of our young people going to West Coast Baptist College, 6 of them returning, and 3 new students. All 9 of these young people were very much a vital part of our ministry, and we will have a great need for others to fill their shoes. May the good Lord greatly bless you in His service." Do you know what a joy to realize again? As Brother Getty is ministering to the Filipinos there in Vancouver, British Columbia, of the work that God is doing in those hearts and those young people that are going off to prepare their lives for the ministry, the way in which God would use them. I think tonight, you know, you may be at the beginning of your ministry, whether it's your ministry to your family, whether it's your ministry specifically serving God in the church. You may be towards the end. But what about in your life? What would have been some of the things that the spiritual lessons that have been imparted to you by your elders, as we saw in the passage there in Deuteronomy 32 this morning? What have been some of the things that God has taught you in terms of seeking to be a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman for His honor and glory? Who would like tonight to just share in a brief fashion a spiritual lesson was imparted to you perhaps by a grandparent who took the time to share some of God's truths and to impart them to you and to your personal life? Who will be the first tonight? If you will stand up over here, great. We'll get a microphone to you right away.
The Lord has been gracious to me as a child. I grew up basically in a Buddhist home. I remember I was very close to my grandmother, and grandmother was a devout Buddhist, and every festival we'll be there. She would drag me through town, going through the capital of Malaysia, and I'm just a youngster, I'm walking, all this by walking, and we would go and do our festivals, but God in his graciousness saved my grandmother when she had the opportunity to come to the United States. And she saw miracles done on her daughter's life. And from there, she switched her devotion from an idolatrous religious life to a relationship with Jesus Christ. From there, God gave her peace that was beyond understanding and joy. And I saw the change in her. And I know from then on, she started praying for every one of her children. Some of them are still not saved, but many of them came to know the Lord. And she has the legacy of having her grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Many of them are serving the Lord. All that I can think of, actually, are serving the Lord in the church, in churches, in some capacity. And that I need to just thank the Lord. Even though my grandmother was seeking, she sought for God, but in the wrong places, but now she found the Lord. And from there, the blessing flows. Another thing I want to thank, I had to just thank the Lord for my father-in-law, who has taught me something very little, but I needed to learn this. And it was back in 2007 when Elizabeth came down with this neck thing called Griselle syndrome, which is so rare, it's unbelievable. And but Grandfather Chu taught me something very simple, but it's very profound. He said, you know what? We need to thank the God of heaven when things are good, but we also need to thank him when things are not so good. And we were going through quite a bit at the time. And you know, that little statement is stuck with me. When things aren't so good, we still are to thank him, and that he is so good. And he is gracious to us. Just a quick thing, I want to thank all the church family for the prayers that you have given to us. We had a wonderful, wonderful visit with our nephrologist, who said that Elizabeth is, the word she used was rapid response. She was in total disbelief that she is coming back so quickly. So we praise the Lord for Amen. His mercies.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Someone else down here in the front.
Pastor, I grew up in a Christian home back in Egypt, and my grandfather was an evangelist. He lived many years in Lebanon and then went back to Egypt to serve the Lord. But he, my dad, you know, when all his children, nine children, got married, he would, every Friday, because that was a holiday, they would get together over at Grandpa's house for a prayer meeting that included all his kids and his grandkids that were alive, you know, that were at the time. And when my grandparents went to be with the Lord, the family still, every Friday, would have a prayer meeting for everybody, all his children and grandchildren. My earliest memories of my family in America is always we had prayer meeting, devotions at night. But my dad, when the lights are off at night, when we're all in bed, I would hear his voice and mom's, but his voice praying. I could picture them sitting in bed and having a conversation with the Lord. And I know he picked that up from my grandfather. And I pray that we in our home, that if there's any memories I could give my kids is hearing conversation, eavesdropping on conversations of their parents, Hanny and I. And I will always hold to those voices at night when the lights are off, conversations with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? Over here in the back? Tim? I think. Oh, we'll get over here. Marty for just a second. Yes.
I wanted to thank the Lord that I was able to hear my grandfather's broadcast when I was 6 years old. He was a hellfire preacher, I should say, along the same vein as B.R. Larkin. I remember listening to those great big vinyl records of B.R. Larkin's sermons, and my grandpa went through a lot. He pastored three different churches and would go from church to church to church, and kind of like a circuit rider. We had a great time with him, and he ended up having five heart attacks back to back to back. Ended up bedfast, and we would have prayer cottage prayer meetings there, and I would sit there by his hospital bed, and he would just be the picture of grace, because even though he didn't have the strength anymore, he still had the knowledge of God, and his mind was good up until the very last, and he would tell me the things that God wanted for me out of my life, and I would ask him questions, and he was a big influence. We lived right beside them. I'd cross the little footbridge over our little creek and go over, and sometimes I'd get in trouble because I wouldn't ask permission and just be over at Mama and Papa's. And I was listening to Papa because he had plenty to tell me about God. And I'll never forget what he taught me most was that in all the adversities of life, that God's with you. Just hold on to him, and he's holding on to us every day.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have a lesson from my grandparents, but just from seeing my own parents as grandparents, the legacy that they can pass on to their grandkids, to my daughter, and a future son and daughter, is just their hard work ethic. And it's awesome that my dad is able to show it to his grandkids by coming and fixing our AC like at midnight when it's out, or fixing the heat of my sister for their kids. And it's just nice that they can show that to their grandchildren.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? All right, Carolyn.
My parents taught faithfulness to the Lord and to his house. In fact, I have to share a story with you. It was in winter when I was about 4 years old. There were five children in our family. Winters in Michigan, when I was very young, were very harsh. And we could get 2, 3, 4 feet of snow without any problem. Well, they never closed the church doors. And my dad one Sunday said, well, I can't even get the car out of the garage. Let's get the snowmobile. So he got the snowmobile out of the barn. He strapped the toboggan on. And they put four kids on the back. And they put three kids on the back. They put me between my mom and my dad. And then my dad held my baby brother. And we went the 5 miles to church on the snowmobile. In fact, the newspaper in town thought it was so amazing. They came and took a picture of our family on the snowmobile to show that we were faithful to God's house. And I just thank the Lord that my parents, they're 70-some years old, and they're not in the best of health anymore, but they are so faithful to the Lord in his house and in their devotion time, and they're praying for us and for their grandkids. They're just not perfect people, but they are. They love the Lord, and I'm thankful for the lesson they've taught me to be faithful to the Lord, his word, and his house.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I had the blessing of growing up in a Christian home, and it was on a farm, and it was a big double farmhouse. My grandparents lived on one side of the big open stairway and a hall, and my parents on the other side with me and my three brothers. But my grandfather was a prayer warrior, and he was a beseecher. And I can remember my bedroom being next to his and my grandmother's, and I would listen to him every morning almost before his feet would hit the floor. He was praying, and he was beseeching the Lord on behalf of my brothers, my mom and my dad and myself, our neighbors and relatives, and this was every morning. And I have one of his Bibles that my son keeps trying to confiscate from me. I still have it, and I also have my oldest brother's Bible. But he had a great impact on our whole family. He was not just grandfather to my brothers and myself, he was grandfather and grandpap to the whole community. Mm. And, you know, out in the farm area, we were all spread out, but our home was a gathering place for kids. It wasn't beyond him to play old maids with me and my one girlfriend. There was mostly boys around, but But he was always there for me, too, as well as my brothers. And he played Chinese checkers, and we used to play regular checkers, and he would always get my checkers. And I say, oh, Grandpa, let's play giveaway. I thought if I could give him all my checkers, then I could be the winner. But he didn't allow that. But anyhow, he had a great impact on our family, and I can still remember just listening to him and his prayers, and it had a big impact on me and my brothers. Also, my grandmother was a prayer warrior. She passed away when I was young, but my mom took care of her. She was bedridden for about a year, and I was in grade school. I was really young, but I was taught how to care, and my mother and father were great folks that cared for their parents. And then I walked to grade school about a mile away from the farmhouse. It was a one-room grade school where we had all 8 grades, and we all passed, as far as I know. But anyhow, I mean, my family did, but I never heard of a student that didn't go on to high school during those years. But coming home, my aunt, would be my dad's sister, lived right on the next farm. And coming home from school, I would see my aunt and talk with her. And when I'd get home, my grandmother would say, I need you to go up and see how Aunt Linda's doing. And I'd say, well, Grandma, I just saw her on the way home from school. She's fine. But she immediately just turned me around and sent me back up to see that Grandma was okay. And I got to the point where I'd go up and I'd say, Aunt Linda, Grandma needs to know how you're doing. And of course, she knew I would be back up. But there again, I learned how my grandmother cared for her daughter and her family. And I am so thankful for the many, many memories. I could go on probably for hours about all the things on the farm, but this is Grandparents' Day, and I just want you to know how wonderful they were.
Amen. Amen. Someone else like to share? Over here. Yes.
My grandfather immigrated here from Columbia, South America back in the 60s, and he sent for my grandmother and my mom and my aunt a little bit later, and I'm just thankful for his salvation, because had he never gotten saved, none of my family members would have ever gotten saved, and he's just probably the most faithful man of God I've ever seen with my own eyes, who can talk it and walk it and just be a godly man. He wasn't afraid to stand alone. You know, he was the first convert in the family. He's been faithful ever since. Because of his salvation, we all got saved. We all had the privilege of growing up in church and just being surrounded by the Word of God. And he just taught me that, I mean, your actions affect others for good or bad. And his actions, they were just so positive. He has always taught me in the good or bad to always pray, to never be afraid to stand alone, because God is always with you, and he's alone again now because my grandmother just passed away, and he's just staying strong. He's being faithful. He's reading his Bible. I've never seen him bitter. I've never seen him say anything negative about anybody. And I'm just thankful that he's our family patriarch, and he just set that example.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes.
My story is a little different. I didn't really have a Christian influence from my grandparents. I did from my parents, which I'm very thankful for that. My parents weren't born, either one of them, into a Christian home, and God saved them when they were in their 30s. And so I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. But I just am amazed at just how far God's grace reaches, because my grandfather was diagnosed with lung cancer in his 70s, and he went into a brief remission, and then it came back with a vengeance, and it spread throughout his body, and he was very sick. And my dad, who had only been saved for a little while, and a pastor from our church, they went to the hospital where my grandfather was, and for the reason of sharing the gospel with them. And the pastor was about my grandfather's age, and they were both farm boys that were born and raised in Georgia, so that was kind of neat that they had that connection. But my grandfather accepted Christ that day in the hospital, and 3 months later he died. And even though I was, I think, 6 or 7 when he died, so I didn't really get to know him, or I was never able to really see the fruit of the gospel in his life, but I'm just so thankful that I will see him. And I'm just so grateful for how God still worked in his life, even though he had hardened his heart for so many years that it wasn't too late for him.
Amen. Amen.
The memory that I want to share of my grandmother isn't something that she taught me directly, but something that my father relayed to me. He had many stories like this, but the one that really stuck with me was she was driving from Greenville, South Carolina, back to Texas, where they were originally from, and her car broke down, and she was on the side of the road for just a little while, and then a man pulled over, and it turns out he was a mechanic, and he towed her car back to his home, and he was going to repair it. Well, while she was there, the mother offered for her to join them for dinner, and she then saw that the lady had a piano, and she started playing the piano with them, and while she was there, between dinner and having her car fixed, she led the entire family to the Lord. And like I said, my father has many stories about this, where she would pick up hitchhikers, and while they were driving in the car with her, she would lead them to the Lord. And so, you know, while I was unsaved, that didn't really have a lot of impact on me. But since being saved and desiring to share Christ with people, that has constantly come up and been a reminder to me how important it is to share Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, I kind of alluded to it in our wedding, but my grandmother has the tale of faithfulness, and without it, no one would be saved in my family. And my dad didn't come from a Christian home, and but because of her and her faithfulness and getting my mom to the church and making my dad go to church so he could be with my mom, my dad got saved, my mom got saved, our family saved, my grandfather got saved, and she did all that without a loving, supporting Christian husband for such a long time. And I think the tale of faithfulness is a huge part in our lives today.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, tonight,